Welcome to this advanced Ableton Live 12 lesson on building and arranging a Subway Jungle Chop. We're making one of those dark, functional DNB weapons that isn't just heavy, but actually useful in a set. Think transition tool, intro builder, switch up loop, or drop bridge that can slot into a roller, a jungle-inflected tune, or something more neuro-adjacent. The key idea here is simple. We want the sub to stay solid and mono, the mid-bass to bring movement and attitude, and the chopped break to carry that jungle identity and rhythmic glue. If you get those roles clear from the start, the whole section becomes way easier to mix, arrange, and control. Let's start by setting the project up properly. Put the tempo at 172 BPM. That's a really nice sweet spot for this kind of material because it's fast enough to feel like jungle energy, but still leaves room for weight and space. Create at least one MIDI track for the sub, one MIDI track for the mid, bass, or reese, one audio track for the break chops, and a couple of return tracks for delay and reverb. Keep the master conservative while you build. You want headroom, not loudness. Aim to keep things around minus 6 dB or so as you sketch. Now, before we even think about fancy movement, we build the sub first. That's the foundation. Use operator if you want a clean sign, or simpler with a pure sine type sample. Keep it simple, put the sub down an octave or two, use a fast attack, and let the note lengths do the work. If you want a little glide between notes, keep it subtle, maybe around 15 to 40 milliseconds. That can give the line a nice connected feel without turning it into a sloppy slide bass. Write a short motif, not a giant loop. A two-bar phrase is usually enough. Leave space on purpose. For example, let the sub hit on beat 1, then give it a little pickup later in the bar and make sure there's room for the drums to talk. That space matters. In heavy DNB, silence is part of the groove. If the sub is constantly active, the break has nowhere to breathe. After that, keep the sub mono. Seriously, this is non-negotiable for club weight. Use utility if you need to collapse the width to 0% on the sub chain. If the low end starts feeling too clean or too plain, don't widen it. Shape it with note length, envelope, or a touch of saturation. A little saturator after the sub can help, with just a few dB of drive and soft clip-on. You're not trying to make the sub distorted. You're trying to add just enough harmonics so it reads on smaller systems without losing the pure low end. Now build the reese or mid-bass on a separate track. This is where the attitude lives. Use Waveitable, analog, or operator with a richer waveform, like saws or a saw square blend. The tune slightly, not massively. We want motion, not a fog machine. Keep the low end out of the reese with a Q8, usually high passing somewhere around 90 to 140 Hz depending on the sound. That way the sub stays in charge below, and the reese can dance above it. This mid layer should do a different job from the sub. Think of the sub as the anchor and the reese as the character. Add a little chorus ensemble or face or flanger if you want more motion, but stay subtle. Then use saturation or overdrive to bring out the aggression. If the reese starts getting too muddy, cut some low mids around the 200 to 400 Hz area. And if you want the phrase to feel alive, automate the filter cutoff over the course of the section. Small movements go a long way here. A reese that opens slowly over a few bars can create tension without sounding obvious. Next, bring in the jungle break. This is where the section gets its identity. Use a classic break, your own drum edit, or a resampled loop with good transients and ghost notes. You want the break to feel like jungle, not just any chopped percussion. Slice it in simpler or put it in drum rack if you want more surgical control. Chop it into 8 to 16 pieces and rearrange the hits so the groove still has that familiar drum DNA, but with a custom pattern. The important part is not to over-edit the break until it loses its shape. Keep the snare identity. Keep the ghost notes if they're helping the pocket. A lot of the energy in jungle comes from those tiny in-between hits. Then process the drum bus with restraint. Drum bus can add some useful attack and density, and a glue compressor can help hold the chops together, but don't crush them flat. You want movement and punch, not cardboard. Now the fun part. Make the bass and drums answer each other. This is what turns a loop into an arrangement idea. Let the sub hit after a snare sometimes. Pull a note out before a fill. Let a break chop answer a bass stab. That call and response relationship is what makes the section feel intentional. It's not just a pattern repeating. It's a conversation. A good way to shape that is to think in 8-bar phrases. For the first 2 bars, establish the identity. Let the sub and break tell us what kind of world we're in. In bars 3 and 4, maybe it'd add a little bass stutter or a more open reese accent. In bars 5 and 6, strip things back slightly and let the drums breathe. Then in bars 7 and 8, add a fill, a reverse tail, or filter sweep so the loop feels like it's turning back on itself. This is where negative space really matters. A lot of newer producers try to keep every bar full, but heavy music usually hits harder when it leaves something out. If you remove a note before the landing feels bigger. If you mute the bass for a tiny moment before the reset, the return is way more powerful. After that, group your low-end elements into a bass bus and your drums into a drum bus. This keeps your workflow clean and makes it easier to manage the whole section. On the bass bus, check for mighty low mids and make sure the sub still feels centered. On the drum bus, you can use drum bus or glue compressor to glue the chops together and maybe trim a little boxiness if needed. Then do a mono check on the master. This is crucial. If the bass or groove collapses in mono, you probably have too much stereo movement in the wrong place, especially in the res or the break layers. The sub should always survive mono. The upper bass can be wider, but the low end must stay stable. Now let's make the whole thing work like a DJ tool, not just a loop. That means thinking about transitions. Add automation for filter sweeps, delay throws, reverb sends, and volume mutes. A low-pass filter opening over a few bars is a classic move. A delay throw on the last snare of a phrase can create a perfect handoff into the next section. You can also mute the bass for a beat or two before the drop lands, which creates tension without needing a huge fill. For a DJ-friendly structure, think in blocks. Maybe an 8-bar intro with filtered drums and only hints of the sub. Then a 16-bar main phrase where the full chop energy comes in. Then maybe a 4-bar switch-up where the rhythm changes a bit. And finally an 8-bar outro that strips the low end down enough to blend out cleanly. If you're making something for actual DJ use, the first and last parts need to be mixable. Leave a little handle at the edges of the phrase so someone can blend it in and out without fighting the arrangement. Once the section is working, resample it. This is one of the best advanced moves here. Record 4 to 8 bars of the best moment to a new audio track. Then slice that audio and rearrange it. Reverse a hit or two. Add tiny fades to keep it clean. Maybe warp only where necessary, but don't flatten the groove. Resampling gives the section a more unified texture and often reveals little moments you wouldn't have programmed directly. It also gives you an alternate version to keep in your toolbox. If you want to take it further, make multiple prints. One version can be cleaner and more utility-focused. Another can be heavier, with more saturation, more drum treatment, or a more dramatic filter sweep. That's actually a smart workflow. Make a mix-safe version and a performance version. Same musical identity, different energy level. A few things to watch out for. Don't let the low end get stereo and facey. Don't oversaturate the pure sub. Don't slice the break so hard that it stops sounding like a jungle break. And don't fill every gap with extra notes just because you can. If the groove feels too busy, simplify the low movement first. A restrained line with one smart variation can hit way harder than a constantly wiggling bass. Also, check the sound quietly. If the section still makes sense at low monitoring level, that's a good sign. It means the arrangement has clarity, not just loudness. In this style, clarity is power. The best heavy sections don't just rely on distortion or thickness. They rely on clean frequency rolls, strong phrasing, and good contrast. Here's a simple practice approach if you want to lock this in fast. Set Ableton to 172 BPM, make a 2-bar sine sub phrase, add a saw-based res above it and high-pass it, then slice one jungle break into a handful of chops. Arrange an 8-bar loop where the bass answers the break every couple of bars. Add one automation move, like a filter opening or a delay throw. Then bounce it to audio and make one alternate final bar. That's enough to get the concept working. So the big takeaway is this. A subway jungle chop is not just a heavy loop. It's a mix-ready D&B tool. The sub gives you authority, the res gives you motion, the break gives you identity, and the arrangement gives you utility. When those parts are separated cleanly and then arranged with intent, you get something that can slam in a club and still make sense in a DJ set. Keep the sub mono. Let the drums breathe. Use the bass and break like a conversation. Automate with purpose. Resample the best moments. And remember, in this style, the hardest hit often comes from what you leave out right before the drop lands. That's the lesson. Now let's get that jungle chop moving.